God which deprived me of my only companion.
Miss Turner, pray be precise as to details.
It is easy for me to be so, Mr. Holmes, for every event of that terrible time is seared into my memory. First, however, you must have some idea of the manner of our life at Stoke Moran. It is, as I have intimated, now ruinous and almost completely closed down, the living accommodation being reduced to the ground floor of one of its two wings, a long corridor off which three bedrooms open, each with a window looking out onto the lawn. First, Dr. Roylott's, then that which was Julia's, with myself at the far end. On that fatal evening, then, 2 years ago, Dr. Roylott had gone to his room early, though not to retire to rest, but rather to smoke. Indeed, it was the pungent smell from his Indian cigars that had initially driven Julia into my room, where we chatted for a time about her approaching wedding.
But, Helen, you must wear a veil as my chief bridesmaid.
In this house, Julia, it is rather as if I've taken one.
Helen, if you're not careful, he will hear you.
Julia, I am not really bothered.
Oh, Helen, had I your insouciance?
The night had been stormy, and about 11 became appreciably worse, at which point Julia felt it was time to retire. So she rose to leave me and had reached my door.
Helen, have you ever heard anyone whistling in the dead of night?
Why, no, Julia, never.
I suppose it could not be you in your sleep.
Julia, dear, I cannot even whistle whilst I am awake. It would hardly have been on Mama's list of attributes every young lady should possess.
I am silly. But you know I am a light sleeper. And, well, these last few nights, about 2 a.m, I have been disturbed by a low, clear whistle. Though once I am awake, I have no idea where it has come from.
The gypsies in the plantation, perhaps. I believe they have a way of communicating with whistles.
Then why have you not heard it? Your window opens onto the lawn as mine does.
But you are the restless one, my dear.
Of course. Well, it is probably of little consequence. Good night, dear. God bless.
And with that, Julia smiled at me, closed my door, and a few minutes later I heard the key turn in her lock.
This was a regular thing, Miss Turner, to lock yourself in at night.
The cheetah and the baboon.
Indeed, quite so. Proceed, if you will, Miss Turner.
I confess that I had treated the affair much more lightly than I had actually felt. As I've already mentioned, we were not only sisters, but twins. The links that bound our souls, both subtle and penetrating. So I knew Julia was ill at ease, frightened, even terrified. I determined I would not sleep. The night wore on, the rain lashing against the windows, the wind howling, when suddenly I sprang from my bed and rushed into the corridor.
Julia!
My sister's door was slowly swinging open. I stared, horror-stricken, not knowing what was going to issue from it.
Julia.
Then slowly, Julia appeared. Her face blanched, her hands groping before her for help, her whole figure swaying like that of a drunkard. She writhed as one who is in terrible pain, and her limbs were dreadfully convulsed. At first I thought she had not recognized me, but as I bent over her, she suddenly shrieked out in a voice I shall never forget.
Helen! Oh, my God! Helen! It was the band! The speckled band!
Then stabbed with her finger towards our stepfather's door, then convulsed yet again, and then...
And then, Miss Turner?
And then Dr. Roylott appeared in his dressing gown, poured brandy down her throat and sent for aid to the village. But to no avail, for she never recovered consciousness.
And that is all you saw and heard?
No, Mr. Holmes. There was something I thought I heard when first I opened my door. First a low whistle, such as my sister had described, and a few moments later a clang of metal.
You are sure about this? You could swear to it.
I did so to the coroner. And yet, amid the crash of the gale and the creaking of the old house...
And the coroner's verdict, Miss Turner?
No satisfactory cause of death, no marks of violence. He investigated with great care, not least because of our stepfather's reputation, but my evidence showed all the windows on the ground floor were stuffed with wooden shutters, the doors locked on the inside, the chimneys barred across, the floors solid. No, she was alone.